Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode of The Hash is sponsored by PayPal.
You're listening to The Hash Headlines on the CoinDesk Podcast Network. Get caught up on this week's top stories from The Hash crew. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Tuesday's top story.
Let's talk about Do Kwon. He's been sentenced to 4 months in jail in Montenegro for document forgery. The court has also ordered the confiscation of 2 Costa Rican passports, 2 Belgian passports, and 2 ID cards belonging to Kwon and Terra executive Han Cheng Jun. Well, I'm going to toss this one off to you. Looks like Do Kwon is going to be in jail for a couple of months. He's still facing extradition to South Korea and the U.S. What do you make of this news? I just love a Do Kwon update.
Good Do Kwon update. Remember we had like that running segment of like where in the world was Do Kwon? We were kind of like thinking about where he might be. Well, we found him. He's in Montenegro. And he had a bunch of false passports for a few different countries like Costa Rica and Belgium. And turns out you can't do that. You might go to jail if you do that. So he went to jail for a little bit. And then they went through sort of like this process of like, are you guilty or not? And now he is guilty and he's going to prison for 4 months. And after that 4 months in jail or in prison, guess what? He probably gets extradited to either South Korea or the U.S. So we will see what happens with that. More than likely, Montenegro is going to allow his extradition to one of these two countries to face alleged charges for his role in the Terra Luna collapse. Both situations look pretty rough for him, where he would want to go, either South Korea or the United States. Obviously, the SEC is up in arms against these things, and it's a lot of prison time, but also looks like it's about the same in South Korea. The one thing that's sort of interesting to me running out of this is kept alleging that, you know, we weren't really running from the law, but still they had false passports. So at what point do you like stop lying? At what point do you say like, okay, you got me. I was on the run. Here you go. I have false passports. I don't know. Zach?
What was that tweet? It's like, your size is not size. Was that a Do Kwon one? Like, your size is not size for passports, allegedly fake passports. Like, the man's passport bag is immense. So I don't know. This seems to be sort of like closure to some of the mean tweets that Do Kwon put out when he was riding high. And now he has to go spend some time in a Montenegrin jail. That's not great. But yeah, what comes next? I think you're right, Will. That's really the big question. Jen, I saw your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to add this a tidbit. According to a Fortune crypto story that cited a South Korean news agency, Do Kwon is still saying that the documents he had were not fake. And it just reminds me of that interview he did when this all kicked off. And he said, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't know what was going on. And it just feels like maybe his strategy is to deny, deny, deny. I don't know how you can be sitting in jail for having false documents and still be saying that the documents are not fake. Now, this was from a South Korean news agency, and I do not read Korean, so I could not verify it myself. But that was a report that I read this morning. Wendy, what do you think?
Well, don't sociopaths, don't they just keep denying and denying and denying? And people that commit really bad crimes, they will take it to their grave. So I don't know. I feel that this is kind of a nothing burger. You would expect somebody as high profile as him to do something like this, to obtain fake identification, etc. I feel like I'm going to play the devil's advocate over here. And I'm going to say I actually feel very, very bad for his wife and child, because I believe he had a child. And I understand there's a lot of people that lost money, and that's absolutely terrible. My Luna bag went to zero, which, you know, I was expecting anyways. But I feel like that's the real loser in this case, is he hurt his family and his, you know, who knows when he's going to be able to see his, especially his young children, when he's going to be able to see them again. So I think that it's very sad. I think it's very sad for the crypto industry. And 4 months is not really a whole lot of time, but he'll probably spend the rest of his life incarcerated, because somebody is going to need to place the blame on somebody for the actions, even if the whole thing wasn't 100% his fault. Because I feel like there's a lot of other players in this. And we've seen that with the crypto contagion. All of these big companies are kind of tied together. And with all of the big banks coming into play, was this or was this not orchestrated? And that's where the tinfoil hat comes in. A lot of these things are coincidental here. But Zach, go ahead.
Yeah, 4 months also times out nicely to October, which is when the SVF trial starts. And I think both these guys are sort of saying, hey, we didn't do fraud. We just messed up really, really bad. And it's going to be interesting to see if any of that works in the court of law. I don't think it necessarily will, but that does seem to be sort of the line of argument. It's like, hey, it's not fraud. We just messed up and it was a ton of money. Like, sorry that our blockchain ecosystem entered a death spiral. Sorry that we annihilated a ton of value over at FTX and Alameda Ventures. Yeah, I'm watching to see if any of that sort of carries water, or if that will be the defense, or if something new will emerge toward the end of the year for both these guys who featured so prominently, I think, in the major downturn of the crypto world. Crazy times. Also on that note about the kid, I think her name is Luna, if I recall correctly. So that is also a sad twist of fate.
Wednesday's top story.
FTX bankruptcy fees already topped $200 million, court examiner says. The bankruptcy attorney for FTX, Catherine Stradler, appointed to check fees in the case, said lawyers and others racked up approximately 35,000 billable hours by the end of January. Yikes. Professional fees already amounted to over $200 million, and 46 of the 242 attorneys involved in the case charge over $2,000 per hour. So that's a card for some of the fees to be slashed. She asked Sullivan and Cromwell to reduce its $42 million bill by $650,000 for deficiencies in overstaffing, excessive meetings, and vague paperwork. This is kind of what happens in bankruptcy court. This is why you should never go to bankruptcy court. Attorneys are expensive. And to be honest with you, they deserve every penny that they're getting, because they have to sift through a bunch of paperwork and deal with absolute incompetent nincompoops. But the thing is like, I feel very, very bad for the FTX creditors, like absolutely terrible for them. But we've seen this time and time again in crypto with the Chapter 11 bankruptcies. And unfortunately, this is the way the law is set up. The law is set up to really enrich the pockets of attorneys and to protect those businesses that made terrible decisions, while people that were affiliated with those businesses get absolutely reamed.
Yeah, so this was really crazy to read how much money is being spent. But Wendy, I think you're absolutely right. This is what happens in bankruptcy court. One of the findings in the filing was that, yes, there are a lot of lawyers working on this case, but maybe there could have been more junior lawyers sifting through the paperwork and doing all of that grunt work. I think the examiner pointed out that there are a lot of senior legal professionals on this. And they even said that many practitioners have remarked not only on the breathtaking global financial scope of these cases, but also on the expansive web of financial misdeeds that preceded and likely precipitated these bankruptcies. So those misdeeds are coming back out as they try to kind of untangle everything. I think it's good that this is being published. It is not anything extraordinary in a bankruptcy filing, but Wendy, I'm with you. I feel for the creditors at the end of the day. Like, if we're just spending all of the money trying to figure out what's going on here at retail, again, is the last to be made whole or partial at the end of the day. And that is really sad for all of these people who entrusted their funds with FTX. Zach, what do you think?
I think we're missing the fact that there's an all-timer of a quote in here, transforming, quote, a smoldering heap of wreckage, end quote, into something that is functional in the context of Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That's a good one right there. A smoldering heap of wreckage does describe FTX as we now know it, right? This is the company that had barely any records at all, it seems, right? John J. Ray III is saying, most of the correspondence was done via disappearing chat message. Expenditures were seemingly approved by emoji. All these details that have come out in the course of this public documentation suggest that it is quite the mess. So the fact that lawyers are digging through this, seemingly enriching themselves while victims of this alleged fraud don't see a dime, is a bit sad, but is very much the way of the world when it comes to Chapter 11 restructuring. I think I would be curious to see if this FTX 2.0 plan ever finds its footing, if there is a way to sort of generate some revenue and get some money back in the door to make past users whole. That would be interesting. Not sure that that's ever going to come to pass, but it's something that John J. Ray III has floated in past conversation. So anyway, $200 million, that's a lot of legal fees, a lot of money going out the door there to probably the wrong folks, but so it goes. Such is the legal process.
Yeah, but it's just kind of getting started. They still have a long ways to go. I want to say, oh my gosh, I just got like this brain thing. I forgot. There was a really famous case. I can't remember what it is because I can't think clearly, but it was still going on after like 10 years. So, and you guys know what I'm talking about. I just can't think of it right now. But these cases are going to take a very long time. There's a lot of things that they need to sift through, things that have disappeared or remain a little bit curious. And it's also very interesting that SBF was one of the second largest donor to a particular presidential candidate who is now sitting in office. And I think not a lot of information will be public due to that. That's just my personal opinion, though.
Are you talking about Gox there? Just
who?
Mount Gox? Mount Gox? You talking about Mount
Gox? I'm talking about Toys R Us.
No, the 10 year Mount bankruptcy, Gox. The crypto.
It was like a TradFi company. It's so stupid. I know. Okay. It's like on the tip of my tongue. I just can't fathom it right now.
Linens and things?
Yeah, it might be Kodak. Toys R Us or Linens and things. Maybe Mervin's?
Mervin's, man. That's a blast from the past. California. If you were in California in the 90s, raise your hand. Mervin's. Boom. Love that.
Oh my God. Anyway. We're just going to start naming off companies that have gone through bankruptcy.
That's Robin, a good segment.
The rest of the show.
Good segment. Nice. Nice. Good stuff. Good stuff. Mervin's. Still. I'm still on the Mervin's thing.
Anyway. The FTX 2.0 thing is interesting, Zach. But I want to point out, the last time we spoke about it, John J. Ray III had spent 6 hours, according to his invoicing, you know, deliberating or reviewing documents about FTX 2.0. And I think in the grand scheme of things, 6 hours, maybe not that much, but maybe. We'll have to wait and see.
Attention, crypto holders. Moving crypto is seamless and secure with PayPal. With support for Bitcoin, ETH, and more, you can buy, sell, hold, send, and check out with crypto at millions of shops online. Not to mention, PayPal now supports the ability to send to and from external wallets and charges you nothing when transferring between PayPal and Venmo crypto wallets. Whether you're exploring the world of Web3 or hodling on for another day, PayPal is the convenient and simple way to convert dollars into crypto. PayPal has your back. They work to protect your financial info and give you confidence every step of your crypto journey. Now's the time to make your crypto move. Get started today at paypal.com/crypto. Terms and conditions apply.
Thursday's top story.
Yeah. So just to expand on your thought, what seems to have happened is that BitGo floated the idea that it's going to acquire Prime Trust, and it got a look at the books and said, no, thank you. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation out there right now about exactly what's going on. But, you know, the probable takeaway is that there's something wrong inside Prime Trust in terms of their, you know, actually holding on to customer assets, which is not good because Prime Trust is primarily a custodian, and that's their one job, as they say. Jen, I saw you want to jump in.
Yeah, I wanted to unpack that speculation a little bit more. So this is obviously like not anything that's confirmed, just speculation that's on Twitter. Yes. But there's some speculation that there's a cease and desist from a state regulator. There's some speculation that there could be a hole in the balance sheet. And it just feels like we've been building up to this tweet, Zach, this morning that feels so reminiscent of times past over the past few weeks. You know, Bank, a subsidiary of Prime Trust, filed for bankruptcy a few weeks ago. Then we had TrueUSD, which has a banking relationship with Prime Trust, pause on minting the stablecoin. It just feels like all of these things have happened. And maybe in the past few days, took a look at this company and said, it's just not a good time from a regulatory perspective. And it's maybe not a good business decision given what's going on with the company and companies that are affiliated with it. Zach?
Yeah, I mean, you have some clients just straight taking to Twitter and saying, hey, you know, just so you guys know, Prime Trust has suspended deposits and withdrawals, allegedly at the behest of a state regulator. So some of that speculation is informed speculation, we can posit. But as it relates to what's driving these problems, I think that is in the realm of speculation at the moment. But you are seeing companies that have worked with Prime Trust in the past go to Twitter today and say, hey, just so you know, deposits and withdrawals suspended. So something is indeed going on over there. When do you want to get your take?
A little
take
bit more than rumors.
Well, I really agree with David's take on this. I have heard from a source of mine that they have been in trouble for quite some time, and that it is all very true that there are issues with their balance sheet and whatnot. I won't comment on what caused it, but yeah, that's 100% true. They are having some issues, and that's pretty much all. It's really sad to see, because it feels like with all the recent actions of the SEC kind of attacking crypto, that our ecosystem in the United States is going to be forced to the TradFi entities, which people are championing for. Good. That's fantastic for them. I'll grift along with them and capitalize on that as much as I can financially, like everybody else. But at the same time, it's a little bit scary to see. And I don't think people really are going to understand the long-term effects if we don't have a lot of smaller crypto asset companies in the space. We don't want to see a monopoly in the US like we've seen with like cable companies and with other big US banks. But that's just my opinion. I'm an idiot on the internet.
Yeah. And specifically to the SEC and the regulatory situation, the timing here is potentially very ironic, perhaps, because what's working its way, albeit slowly and hesitantly, through the House right now is a market structure bill that would create a position specifically for custodians to serve exchanges, which is what Prime Trust was already doing. So they were sort of ahead of the law here, potentially, but it looks like they're not going to make it to the point where they would have some position in the market enshrined in law that would have been very good for them if that had happened. So the timing stinks, it seems.
Yeah. Also, just like a historical footnote, BitGo, right, was almost acquired by Galaxy, and that deal did not go through. And that's been sort of winding its way through the courts with a bit of closure recently. So the idea that BitGo is now linked to two failed acquisitions, largely for very different reasons, is a bit of a footnote that should be mentioned. I don't know. Jen, any final thoughts on this one? We can change gears.
Well, I was going to ask David a question just on the topic of opinions and speculation. Previously, when it comes to news like this, we've seen the markets react, but they've been kind of stable. Like, what does that tell you anything? The markets haven't done anything on this news?
It looks like Wendy might have something.
I'm just looking at the message from my person, and they had a particular free service regarding lending out different coins to cover fees. And the people that I spoke with opted to not use them for that reason. And that could be the reason why they are in hot water.
That does not sound great. To answer Jen's question real quick, I think one reason might simply be that they're relatively small. I don't know the numbers, but the notices that we're seeing from customers are from relatively obscure exchanges and services. So it might simply be a matter of footprint. Like, they're not that big in terms of market impact, would be my thought.
You've been listening to The Hash Headlines on the CoinDesk Podcast Network. We would like to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to us at podcasts@coindesk.com, subject line, The Hash, or leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. Thanks for listening.